supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, salam. And welcome to this episode of today's special under the topic of the moral conduct of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Be with us.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيان قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي.
Today, Friday, is the 12th of the month of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of February, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose chapter Al-Ma'idah, that is chapter 5 of the Holy Quran, verse 67, to listen to and learn one important point about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته والله يعصمك من الناس إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين.
O Messenger, announce that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, and if you do not, then you have not conveyed His message. And Allah will protect you from the people. Indeed, Allah does not guide the disbelieving people.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Truly, what an important subject there existed in the latest month of the Prophet's life, that in the mentioned verse the lack of its convenience has been counted equivalent with the lack of messengership wholly. In different books of the scholars of both Sunni and Shia scholars of thought, there are many authentic traditions recorded to say that the mentioned verse has been revealed at Ghadir Khum about the appointment of the successor for the Prophet and the future fate of Islam and Muslims. During a series of today's special, we'll learn about characteristics of Shia's first Imam, Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Today, we learn more, and in this part, politics and religion. Many believe that when someone enters the turbulent scene of politics and state management, he has to ignore some ethical rules and principles in order to be able to manage the society in the best possible way. They argue that ethical codes in politics are different from the ordinary ethics. This opinion, that is, the unethical political performance is against the ethical precepts of the great leader of Islam, Imam Ali, peace be upon him. He abided by ethical codes when he entered politics from the very beginning. He never violated ethical code, either in war or in the government, to gain victory over his enemies.
Imam Amir al-Mu'minin was inside of his house. What was he doing? He was fixing his sandals. They had torn. The Imam was sewing. He was stitching his sandals. People are lined up to give bay'ah, to pledge allegiance to him. He's going to become the Khalifa. All of these people have been fighting for power. It's now presented to Amir al-Mu'minin on a silver platter. They're all lined up to put their hands in his hands and declare and pay him allegiance. Ibn Abbas, he comes inside. Everyone is looking. Where's Ali ibn Abi Talib? He sees that Ali ibn Abi Talib is stitching his sandals. Ibn Abbas says, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin. Everyone is waiting. Delegations from all around Arabia are here to pay you allegiance as Khalifatul Muslimin. Amir al-Mu'minin, he looked up. He says, Ya Ibn Abbas, ma qiymatu hadhihi an-na'l? What do you think this sandal is worth? Ibn Abbas, what are you talking about? Everyone is here to give you allegiance. You're asking me how much a sandal costs? The Imam says, yeah, how much is it? If I wanted to sell it, how much is it worth? Ibn Abbas says, it's worthless. Maybe a dirham, maybe two dirhams max. Imam Amir al-Mu'minin, he says, Wallah, lahiya ahabbu ilayya min imratikum. This sandal is more beloved to me than the khilafah إلا أن أقيم حقا أو أدفع باطلا. This sandal is more beloved to me, it has more value to me than this khilafah, unless I use this position to uphold justice and eradicate injustice. That's the only way that power has value. This was Amir al-Mu'mineen's attitude.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
So we learn more life lessons from Nahjul Balagha, the collection of his ideas. Drop your bad habits and stop the procrastination. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "If you could see that which has been seen by those of you who have died, you would be puzzled and troubled. Then you would have listened and obeyed, but what they have seen is yet curtain off from you. Shortly the curtain would be thrown off. You have been shown, provided you see. And you have been made to listen, provided you listen. And you have been guided if you accept guidance. I spoke unto you with truth. You have been called aloud by instructive examples and warned through items full of warnings. After the heavenly messengers, angels, only men can convey message from Allah. So what I am conveying is from Allah. Make every day a day to improve yourself in one manner or another, no matter how small you think it is. Time does not stop for anyone. You don't know what is going to be your last day on this earth. So try not to put things off."
Ali, 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 Haydar, Haydar, Haydar. Ali, 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 Haydar, Haydar, Haydar.
Ali, 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 Haydar, Haydar, Haydar. Ali, 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 Haydar, Haydar, Haydar. Ali, 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 Haydar, Haydar, Haydar. Ali, 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 Ali.
From the list of policy-making features in the mannerisms of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, which to this sense he would refute flattery. Another characteristic in the political behavior of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, was that he genuinely, not insincerely, asked the people to avoid flattering and sweet talking him. He asked them to avoid behaving in an insincere manner towards him. In the middle of the commander of the faithful sermon, someone stood up and began to praise and compliment him. When this person, finishing praising Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, turned to him and advised, "Do not speak to me the way you speak to oppressive kings and rulers. Do not evade me as the people of passion are to be evaded. Do not meet me with flattery, and do not think that I shall take it ill if a true thing is said to me."
Now, many of us wonder, what was the secret of Imam Ali alayhi salam? We know he was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what was the key to his success? How did the Imam alayhi salam manage to observe human rights in such an impeccable and delicate manner? What was his secret? The Imam alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha shares with us that secret. The Imam alayhi salam says, "Wallah ladunyakum hadhi fi ayni ahwanu min iraqi khinzir fi yadi majdhum." You want to know the position of this materialistic world in the eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam? How does Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib view this world? He says, I swear by God, this world in my eyes is more worthless. It's more worthless than the bones of a pig in the hands of a leper. The leper is the one who has leprosy. It's one of those dangerous illnesses, and it's highly contagious. Back then, if someone had leprosy, you would not want to get near that person, because immediately, it would be transmitted to you. It was a highly contagious disease. Now I ask you, what is the value of the bones of a pig in the hands of a sick person? Does that have any worth? Does that have any value? The Imam alayhi salam, the Imam peace be upon him, says, the world in my eyes, in the eyes of Ali ibn Abi Talib, is more worthless. It has less value than the bones of a pig in the hands of a leper. This was the secret to his success. This is what enabled Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam to observe the rights of everyone, not to oppress a single ant, let alone a person, a human being.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. This is the end of this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And as you know, we spoke about the justice of Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Inshallah, we meet you soon on the next episode. And till then, fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي حيدار 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 يا حيدار 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 يا حيدار 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 يا
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, on the threshold of the blessed birth anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the first infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, let us contemplate on a brief but bright aphorism from him. People perish due to two things, fear of poverty and seeking of pride.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam Ridha alayhi salam. This hadith is about going to trouble for one's guests or making a special effort for one's guests. Like, let's say that you invite somebody to your house for dinner, and, you know, you want to make a good impression on the person, so you go to some extra trouble to cook some very exquisite and expensive meal for the person, you know, to either because, you know, you want to make a good impression on him, or you want to ask him for a favor, or for whatever reason, right? This is something which has not necessarily been has been encouraged in religion. Imam Ridha alayhi salam narrates, a man once invited the commander of the faithful, Ali alayhi salam, for a meal. So the Imam said to him, I will accept your invitation, provided you fulfill three conditions. This is interesting. So this, we can use this as a criterion, as a model for when we want to invite a guest to our house. The man asked, and what are they, O commander of the faithful? To which he replied, do not bring any special food from outside for me. Do not preserve anything in the house especially for me. Do not go and buy some special food for me. That's not something good. Don't do that. Do not preserve anything in the house especially for me. And do not impose any difficulty on your family. Like, let's say you're inviting me to your house for dinner. Let's say that one of your family members is sick, right? And it's very difficult for him to get up and leave the room. But you ask him to do so because I'm your guest. No, don't do that. The man replied, you shall have that, O commander of the faithful. And Imam Ali alayhi salam accepted his invitation. In a similar way, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, if your brother comes to your house uninvited, then offer him whatever you have in your house. Let's say somebody comes unexpectedly to your house, right, without you inviting him there, right? Don't go out and, you know, buy something very expensive for him to eat. No, whatever you have in the house, give it to him. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, and if you invite him, then make a special effort for him, right? Just to reconcile these two hadiths, it means, prepare something good for your guest, right? If you invite him, but don't make an effort that you do not have the ability. Really do not have the ability economically or physically, you know, to fulfill. But if a person comes to your house uninvited, then don't even go to any kind of special effort to, you know, to feed him. Whatever you have in your house, give it to him. This is some of the etiquettes of hospitality and how we should treat our guests when they come to our house. Also, regarding the same thing, it's been narrated that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, no one should go to troubles that they cannot afford for a guest. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at going to extra trouble for one's guest in the words of Imam Al-Ridha alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Here again we are with some of the students of Xavier International School, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider, and also Hassan Nasrullah.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق. اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So today, inshallah, Brother Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan and Hussein, our main topic is Ayah 266 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Brothers and sisters, please hold your Quran, turn to page 45 and Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 266. So we all once listen to the recitation of this Ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أيود أحدكم أن تكون له جنة من نخيل وأعناب تجري من تحتها الأنهار له فيها من كل الثمرات وأصابه الكبر وله ذرية ضعفاء فأصابها إعصار فيه نار فاحترقت كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون.
That was great. Now I will be reciting. Make sure you practice with me, okay? Repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, make sure you repeat as well. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ.
أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ تحتها الأنهار تجري من تحتها الأنهار له فيها من كل الثمرات وأصابه الكبر تجري من تحتها الأنهار له فيها من كل الثمرات وأصابه الكبر وأصابه الكبر وله ذرية ضعفاء فأصابها إعصار فيه نار فاحترقت وأصابه الكبر وله ذرية ضعفاء فأصابها إعصار فيه نار فاحترقت كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون
Nice one, mashallah. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. So, أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ Allah Almighty talks about a very important thing. Allah Almighty says, does any one of you want to have a garden of grapes and palm trees? Do you want to have it? Okay. With streams running in it. Okay, like streams of milk, grapes, asal, honey, okay, whatever. Asal wanharum min laban, wanharum min asal. Allah Almighty says in the Quran. So do you want to have such kind of garden in the heaven? What? Yeah, he's now. He wants to have some grapes, have some honey or milk. Okay, so تجري من تحت الأنهار له فيها من كل الثمرات. Whatever fruit you know will be there. So, do you want such a garden? وأصابه الكبر. And do you want such kind of garden? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now Allah Almighty wants to tell you one more thing. وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ And for example, you get old. You become old, okay? The old age were to strike him. وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءَ And you have like children, which are like poor children or weak children, okay? You have many children, they don't have their own, for example, wealth or something. فَأَصَابَهَا إِعْصَارٌ Whereupon a fiery hurricane were to hit him. Look, you have a garden. You have a lot of wealth. Garden is the example for the wealth. You have a lot of wealth. Okay? A garden. Suppose you have a big garden like this. Palm trees, like grapes, a lot of fruit, different types of fruits. Okay? Then a fiery hurricane of fire, hits it, burns it. How would you feel? You have children. You are old. You're about to die, but your children are hungry. If for example, the fire hits it, okay? If this, all the garden, whatever inside it you have, okay? They will all get burnt. How do you feel?
I will cool it with water.
Can you do it? No way, you can't. How would we feel? Look, it's after the infaq, after the charity Allah Almighty mentioned in the previous ayah, okay? Allah Almighty says this as well, here.
Sad.
You will feel sad. Even you will die of upset. You will be so upset, yes? You will be repressed. What happened to me? Okay? So Allah Almighty gives this example for you to remember that one day you will be someone who has nothing. What day is that?
The day of judgment.
The day of judgment. You will have no garden in the day of judgment. No fruit, no children. You have them, but they will have nothing to do with you. Everyone is busy with his own business. Okay? So that day is very important day. Be careful. So do the infaq, do the charity for the sake of Allah Almighty, not the people. Okay? If you could help the people, help, because they are important in the Day of Judgment. Okay. We need to say that it's enough about the explanation, but I want you to refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, for more explanation. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now we'll go to the Tajweed rules, which are very important rules here in this ayah. We'll mention them, okay? Make sure you listen and practice them. Ayawaddu. Make sure it shouldn't be ayawaddu ahadukum, because it's a short vowel. Ayawaddu ahadukum an takuna lahu an nun sakin plus ta ikhfa with a nasal sound. An takuna lahu u sound. جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ جَنَّةٌ مُشَدَّد نَتٌ مِّن إِدْغَام جَنَّةٌ مِّن إِدْغَام again مِّن نَخِيلٍ نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ All are إِدْغَام So many إِدْغَام we have in this ayah. So نخيل وأعناب تجري أعناب تنوين plus تاء إخفاء right حسين
yes
وأعناب تجري تجري ألي ناصر what rule is applied تجري ألي ناصر say for what wants to say hurry up
قلقلة
قلقلة for what was it the same you wanted yes. to say okay قلقلة تجري من تحتها الأنهار من تحت again إخفاء من تحتها الأنهار إظهار clearly pronounce the noon sound أنهار له فيها من كل نون ساكين plus
إخفاء
كاف إخفاء من كل إخفاء do the إخفاء in a way that your listener should be aware of the next letter. Should understand the next letter is kaf. Okay? Min kulli thamarati. Make sure the ra has an a sound here. Thamarati. Wa asabahul sa again a heavy sound. Wa asabahul kibar. Wa lahu dhurriyyatun du'afa ikhfa, right? وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءُ ضُعَفَاءُ The mad is wajib. فَأَصَابَهَا إِعْصَارٌ أَصَابَهَا Is the mad wajib, Hussein?
No.
No. Because the hamza and the mad letter are not in the same words. Word. They are in separate words. إعصارٌ فيه نارٌ بُدر إخفاء إعصارٌ فيه نارٌ فاحترقت قِلَا tells you it's better to stop. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ That's all the important tajweed rules. We mentioned, alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, make sure you practice, inshallah. And once more, I'm telling you for the explanation, tafsir, you have to refer to the tafsir book for more information, okay? Thank you so much, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir for being with us in this session. And also brothers and sisters who have been listening to us the whole time, thank you so much for being with us. Please stay with us with IRIB English Radio in the coming sessions. We'll be here with you every day, one Quranic session, inshallah. That's all. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Really thank you so much, IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahireen.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. This is The Last Savior. I am your host, Zainab. Today in our studio, we have had the privilege to invite our day guest, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Well, Dr. Alavi, in our previous episodes, we have been talking about the series of features, the key features of the idealistic city in the time of the advent of Imam, which we called as the Mahdavi Utopia. And we said there will be justice, and we discussed that in detail. We said there will be comfort and convenience. Wealth will be shared among all. There will be abundance of wealth, resources, there will be generosity, generosity from Imam, destructed places will be set up again, earth will be filled up with greenery, vitality, freshness, and hidden treasures will come out. What else do we have in this utopia that we are really lacking in this world?
Yes, you introduced the features and characteristics of Mahdavi Utopia well, that is starting from justice and later moving to wealth and comfort. And now we are going to talk about the beauties of security at that time.
All right.
It's a secure utopia. It's security from different angles. According to the psychologist, one of the most important basic human needs, which has also special place in the pyramid of the need of human beings, is the need for security. And this security has many dimensions. It's not only the security, let's say, of a moral security. No, moral security is one aspect, economic security, legal security, social and family security, and many other forms of security that, and many other dimensions of security that we know and we have in our minds. So what can be extracted from the large number of the narrations of the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, or the appearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, shows that in that Islamic utopia, in that Mahdavi utopia, the world would be a safe place. Safe, as I said, from different aspects and angles. And the whole city and the whole world would be a peaceful world and peaceful city. That is security in its true sense, and
yes,
that is from different angles and different dimensions. Let me refer to a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that while he recited this verse of Holy Quran, وَعَدَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلِيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. After reciting this verse of the Holy Quran, Imam alayhi salam said that God has promised those of you who have believed and did righteous deeds, that he will definitely place them as successors on the earth and turn their fear into safety. Imam alayhi salam says, this is about this verse that I actually recited and its translation. Imam said, this has been revealed for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his companions.
Okay.
It means at that time, at that holy promised time that we are waiting for, at that honorable time, people can lay their heads on the bed of peace with a relaxed heart.
Okay.
And and free from any economic, legal, or moral and social concerns and insecurities that they might have in their minds and in their hearts.
I would want to continue this discussion with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. I'm with Dr. Ali Alavi, and we had been discussing the key features of Mahdavi utopia. Well, Dr. Alavi, before going to the break, you were talking about the security aspects we will be witnessing in the Mahdavi utopia.
Yeah. We said that people always had some concerns in their lives, and we refer to the hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that said, Allah is going to bring security and peace in their hearts and in case they want to pass the steep slopes, but they will find it a secure place even to go for anywhere that they like to actually step in their own societies.
Can I say like this, for example, if I am living in an apartment right now wherein I have security outside and I am just getting inside and sleeping with this security that there's no robbery going to be happening because security is there, but still in my mind I have certain insecurities, be that financial insecurity or other insecurities. You're trying to say that there will be no insecurity in
no
that
insecurity
thing.
From all dimensions
all
I'm
right.
talking about. Yes, this security is one aspect of it, is security, for example, from, let's say, from theft or from...
Like we are secure in one sense, but we are insecure in many other senses.
Definitely. Look, ask any human being that you have in your vicinity or from the people who are in your family or in your vicinity. Ask them that if they have any problem or not.
Of course,
The kind of problems that they have, financial problems, the kind of problems that they have with the education of their own selves and their own kids, and the kind of insecurity that
especially
they have.
Especially women are like very insecure in the many
aspects.
Of their life.
Look, if we want to even enlist them, it would be a great, huge list of factors that actually bring insecurity and concern to us.
Yeah.
So we are, when we have somebody who is going to a journey, so, you see, many bad thoughts come to our minds that, okay, what is going to happen, for example, till the person reaches to the destination.
And
too many times we are going to call. So why all this security for? Due to the problems that we human beings actually created for ourselves. I want to say that the solution for all these problems and concerns would be a peaceful mind that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to us with the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Inshallah.
The next phase, or the next, let's say, the next characteristic or the next feature of Mahdi utopia is tarbiyah, or education, or let's call it upbringing.
Upbringing, yeah. Nurturing.
We know that the Western civilization has based its development on the human being, and the human as the center of the world, that is humanism.
Yeah.
That is, whatever human says would be the core of decision, or core of, let's say, a change in this world.
Yeah.
So there is no place for the creator, rather, than the
especially that happened after the Renaissance period, and we'll discuss this after a short break. Okay. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us. Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. This is IRIB English Radio. I am with Dr. Ali Alavi, and we are discussing the key features of Mehtavi utopia, and we have discussed justice, we have discussed the comfort and convenience, and now we discuss security in from different aspects. And now we want to talk about the education, upbringing, or nurturing in that period. Yes, Dr.
Alavi. Yeah. First, I wanted to actually depict the way that problem itself, and inshallah, will go to find its remedy in the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in Mahdi utopia.
Yeah.
We said that the Western civilization has based all its development in the basis of attention to human beings. And the human-centeredness of humans, and also humanism in general. That is human, and the decision that this human is actually making would be the core and the center of all events in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of look that has been given to this human has not been given to the creator of that human.
Yeah.
It's as if, for example, we have a car, and we think that this car is everything for us. We even ignore and neglect the role of the person who made this car.
Yeah.
So in case there is a problem with this car, we are going to ask the car itself that, okay, how can we solve this problem with you?
Yes.
So this car is has been made, and it's a product of something else. As a group of technicals that came and actually assembled different parts and made this car. But when we are going to solve the problem of human being, we have to refer to the creator of that human, not to the human itself. Even this kind of look that has been given to human being is not a comprehensive,
outlook.
Even a look that has been given. A person who was only seen from one side and has not been seen from the other side. Like, for example, the material aspect of human has been seen and paid attention to. But this human that even you are looking at has another part and has another dimension, that is the spiritual aspect of that.
We saw when this world was facing troubles, the serious troubles because of COVID. At that time, the so-called powerful country, the president said that Trump said to every, said, just open up all churches and mosques and everything because we are in need of that spiritual power. So the powerful country of the world was lacking, was feeling some emptiness in the from the spiritual aspect to get over one trouble.
So this model that has been introduced is a caricature human being, and it cannot be called even human because, as I said, it is being looked from even from one dimension, and the other dimensions and other needs and perspective of this human has not been looked at. And this misunderstanding, this small misunderstanding is the problem, is the center of this problem or the core of this problem that we are going to refer to. So we see that within the centuries, this civilization is going to focus all its capabilities and all these abilities on providing the needs of this aspect of this human.
Okay.
Only this aspect of this human, not
all the aspects.
Yeah. That is, from the viewpoint of comfort and welfare. Look, yes, it's true that our body needs welfare, requires comfort. But even in order to have this tranquility inside, what did we do for that?
Yeah. Because sometimes we are able to just build up, construct big palaces, rather. We have so good beds, but we don't have sleep. we have very good material aspects, but we don't have that comfort within our souls.
Mm. So they might say, no, you're right, because we have collected all of our powers and gathered all of our powers and all of our technical, let's say, facilities, all of our psychologists to come and help this person to solve the other side and to remedy and cure the problems of the other side of the people and the person. And this human that you're talking about, no, we did not necessarily pay attention to the material part of the person. No, you're wrong. So if this question is right, and if this claim is right, so what is the problem that we see that human being at this time, specifically in the verse, is finding nihilism inside himself and reached to nihilism? So what is that they actually reached to a point that they say that it's like a rotten egg thrown at the wall. So if they have solved the problem, so why the main problem is still there? So these are the questions that we need to, inshallah, talk about and to say that the solution can be found in the Madhavi Utopia.
Yes, inshallah, we'll talk more on that note in another session. Thank you so much, Dr. Alavi, for being with us. Thank you so much to our listeners. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest rose? Please, oh please, please come.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters from all around the world, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.